Walt Dip to the Road Rage. We're back. Matthew Van Anderson says on Denton, everyone's going to expect a quarterback run if he's in the game, so I'd run a play action deep post. I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think they want him throwing the ball. I think if you see anything, it's be a pop pass, but that'd be situational. And I just don't think you're going to see it. I still think most likely scenario, it doesn't matter if they can expect it all they want, and it doesn't mean you can stop it. I think that's still his greatest strength from the position he is most familiar with. So I don't see it. Jeff said, yeah, the station had a Denson autograph session. I don't know what that means. I don't know anything about that. I think Chris Denson's a good athlete. I mean, I think I don't know what's going to happen with him. I don't know. You know, maybe he just loves it at Clemson. I don't know. But I would not be surprised. You know, CD suggested, you know, he could wind up starting a place like South Carolina State or something. I could see that. I could see him going to a place like that and starting a place like Furman and starting. I could see that. And by the way, I don't want him to leave. I'm just saying I could see that down the road. We'll see. Lot to get to. You can get in 654-7627, 654-7627. You can enjoy the conversation. It's GL up first. GL, what's going on, GL?
64 years old, man.
Congratulations, GL. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Yep. Now, I need you to put your GM hat on and figure out what Atlanta needs to do to get through this season.
Well, first of all, I think they play – wait a minute. You're talking about the Braves or the Falcons?
Yes, who do they – the Braves. We ain't got the football season yet. Okay. I mean – I don't think the Falcons are going to do anything.
Well, I think you need pitching. I think the Braves clearly need pitching and maybe another bat too. I mean, look, if I'm Atlanta, okay, I'm looking at it this way. This is the question I'm asking myself: what do I need to do in order to be able to beat the Dodgers? That's the question. I mean, because that's ultimately going to be the question. It's going to be, can you beat the Dodgers or maybe even the Brewers? You know, maybe those are the questions. Whether you can beat the Mets or the Padres or none of that stuff matters. The question's going to be, at the end of the day, can you beat the Dodgers? And so I'm asking myself, when I match up with them, what do I need? Because I think that's the ultimate test. I mean, it's not about winning the Eastern Division. The Braves have won plenty of that. Plenty of Eastern Division titles. It's about getting out of the National League and being good enough to accomplish that. And so that's a tough task. It's a tough ask. But if you ask me, are the Braves good enough to beat the Dodgers right now as they're presently constituted, the answer is no.
Okay. What would it take to get Tatis from the Padres?
I don't know if the Braves would want Tatis. I mean, I think the Braves have already gone down the suspended player road, and I find it hard to believe they'd want to do that again.
Okay, so who do you get pitching-wise?
I mean, there are just so many choices. I don't know, you know, every time that I turn around.
You ain't getting nobody from Boston.
Yeah. Every time I turn around, there are different names connected, and so it would just be a wild guess. I mean, I could throw some names out, but they'd just be wild guesses. The names you've probably heard, but I do think that I still think more than anything else, the Braves need pitching.
That's true. So again, who do you get?
I don't know. Let me think about it. I'll give you an answer in a little bit. Let me think about it.
Have a good one, Walt.
Thank you, GL. Happy birthday, 64.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, GL. It is Chuck in Taylor's. Chuck, how are you, Chuck?
I'm doing well, Walt. Thank you and Ramon for taking my call.
Thank you.
I always enjoy your show, buddy. I got just one quick question. I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments. off the air. Oklahoma, Coach Venables, what do you think this year? All I see is they're ranked in the top five or six in the country in recruiting, and nobody's really talking about them except I know you know all about them. So I just want your quick opinion, maybe wins and losses on their schedule. And yeah. I appreciate it, Walt.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I'm high on OU. I think the schedule's really difficult, but I'm high on the team. I think that Matera has weapons to work with, and that's a dangerous combo in year two there. I think you have to understand that there's a big transition going from where he was at Washington State, going into the SEC and playing in Oklahoma. I mean, I think that's a big transition, and I don't think he had a lot of help. I think he has help now. And therefore, I expect a big year from Matera. I think the Oklahoma defense is going to be – I mean, I think there's a chance the Oklahoma defense is the best defense in the country. If not, it's going to be in that mix, that same conversation. Texas said, I just mean the example of hype getting carried away on the Denson thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Jeff. Yeah. Yeah, I knew what you meant, Jeff. Yeah, it was everywhere. I saw all over the internet, social media, that Denson was going to be the starter, and it was all based on a couple of runs against Furman, which is just insane. Of course he's going to make plays against Furman. He's a better athlete than the players they have. I mean, that has nothing to do with playing quarterback at this level. And I don't know how people confuse those things, but they did. 940 says Tyler Brown the slot, who's 100% healthy. We'll see. I'm not 100% sure of that. I think that could be a three-person battle. I'm not 100% sure that Tyler Brown is going to be starting in the slot. We'll see. I mean, he, quite honestly, he wasn't good last year. He dropped too many passes. And, you know, and we'll find out. I mean, I expect him to play. But I don't know if he's going to start in the slot. I think there's a question about that. Yep. Butch on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Butch, how are you, Butch? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt, man. Thanks for having me, yeah, brother. Absolutely. How are you doing today?
Good, Butch. Thank you.
Yeah, man. It's always good to hear you on Ramona having fun on the air. Question, I sent it to a text, just wondering. So we'll say South Carolina does go 6-6 or 5-7 this year. Would you consider giving Kendall Browles a shot? If you were, you know, in that.
I doubt it. I doubt it. But it would depend really on how the season worked. For example, if it turns out you're tremendous offensively and your defense stinks, then maybe that's a possibility. But, first of all, I don't think your defense is going to stink.
No.
So I don't think that's likely. No. I think there's almost no possibility of that, I would say.
Right. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Who, if you had the money and they were open, who would you purchase for South Carolina? I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, thanks, Butch. I don't know. Somebody asked me that a little bit ago. That's the kind of thing I need to think about. And I mean, it's just pointless to just throw blind names out. I mean, generally, there's some connections, and you have to think about fit and all that. I mean, I could throw a million names out, but again, they'd just be throwing names out. I need to think about it. A guy who, you know, not only would fit, but would be attainable. You know, those are different things. South Carolina picked Shane Beamer. All right. So they're obviously not exactly picking off the top shelf. I don't know. I need to think about it. There are some possibilities, but I'll let you know. Let me ponder that for a while. All right, Ramona, next on our quarterback list. We've gotten very far. What do you have next? Number 14. Number 14 is Austin Simmons from Missouri. Again, I like Austin Simmons. I think Austin Simmons is a talented guy. He's 6'4". He's lefty. He has a live arm. I think there's a lot to like. It feels like he hasn't played football in forever, which he basically hasn't. You know, he lost out on the job to Trinidad Chambliss. He got displaced. And so we never really got to see what Austin Simmons could or might be. Now, you know, look, Missouri brought in some transfers at wide receiver. You know, we'll see how those guys work out. They've lost talent in that area. You know, we don't know about Ahmad Hardy, which is maybe the biggest singular factor for Austin Simmons. If he has Hardy, then he can basically live off of Hardy. But if he doesn't, then I think that changes the equation for Austin Simmons. So, again, this is a big, talented quarterback who has NFL capability. There is no quarterback on this list for the SEC that I think can't play. I mean, they're all sort of cut from the mold. I mean, again, Austin Simmons, 6'4", 220 pounds, lefty, live arm. I mean, there's not much to dislike about a guy like that. Plus, in the time that we have seen him play, he's been very accurate. I mean, and Kiffin seemed to think down to the goal line, he would give him the best chance to score as a passer, which, of course, didn't work out for him because, you know, he brought in a cold Austin Simmons in place of a hot Trinidad Chambliss and did things that only Lane Kiffin could possibly even consider doing. But I still like Simmons, and I like Eli Drinkwitz. You know, I just – the supporting cast concerns me a little bit now, and it starts with Hardy. You know, they brought in the goody thing kid from I think he was at Cincinnati and Colorado State. They brought in him at wide receiver. They brought the Lee kid in who was at Ole Miss. I mean, I think that's a good pickup. I mean, I think there's talent at receiver there, and it might be. Listen, if Ahmad Hardy is full go, Simmons is going to move up this
list. Call back.
I'm sorry, what?
I hung up on someone.
Okay. The random call back. Ramona inadvertently hung up on you, texting. So, look, I think the receivers are pretty decent. If they have Ahmad Hardy, Austin Simmons could be in for a big year. He has the ability to be that guy. And again, he has NFL talent. Austin Simmons, listen, there's not a guy on here who doesn't have NFL talent. You know, what they turn out to be, we'll see. But almost every guy on this list has NFL traits that translate. All right, quick break. Phantom Gator will be up first when we get back.
Upset you missed a show today? No problem. We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Going over my top 16 SEC quarterbacks. And again, I am ranking these quarterbacks based on their expected productivity this year, not strictly an evaluation of their talent. It's their talent and their world, because their talent alone doesn't mean squat when it comes to college stats and winning games. It has to be more than that. So this is really about their expected productivity. But again, there's no quarterback in the SEC that I hate, which is the first time I've ever said that about any league. Oftentimes I hate most of them, but not this time. Phantom Gator. What's going on there, Phantom Gator?
Hey, Walt, just listening to the show. I heard you going. One, I wanted to ask you about a couple guys, and yeah, one of them actually is a SEC quarterback now. He's but if he's on your list, it's Aaron Filo.
Yep.
From he transferred from Georgia Tech.
Yep.
If he's on your list, I'm gonna bring him up now. But the other guy is their new defensive coordinator, who is Brad White from Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Of course, I don't know anything about him. I do know they held Florida to 7 points last year, but yeah, they gave up 450 to Georgia. So I don't know where this guy fits.
Well, I mean, you know, Georgia also had a lot more talent than they did. I think Brad White did a nice job at Kentucky under Stoops. I think he did a good job. He was also with the Indianapolis Colts. He's an old linebacker coach. I think it's a solid hire. I think it's a good hire.
So, so far, so you thought Brad Faulkner? You think he was an A hire?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, what do you think about where would you rank Brad White?
I think that's in a similar class hire. I think Florida, from a coaching situation, this is the best you've looked in a long time. I mean, from Summerall to Buster Faulkner to Brad White, I think this is probably the best group of coaches you've had in a very long time.
Yeah, and that's good to hear.
Basically, since Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think Summerall had his and Spurrier's blessing or whatever. Meyer and Spurrier's.
Yeah.
Blessing or whatever you want to say it was anyway. But so if Aaron Filo is on your list, I'll just wait and wait to hear about him.
Yep. Thank you, Phantom Gator. He's coming up.
All right, Walt.
Thank you. All right, Ramona, let's keep going here because we've not got anywhere really, and we've got a couple other things to mix in at some point here. But number 13, Ramona. Number 13 is Keelan Russell of Alabama. This is a little bit similar to the Faison Brandon situation. Again, Austin Mack is going to be in the hunt for this job. I would not be surprised if he won it. Personally, to me, I think Russell is a higher-level talent. I find it hard to imagine that both those guys will stay in Alabama. I guess it depends on what you're getting paid. But I'm thinking the town won't be big enough for the two of them. You know, look, we've seen some of Austin Mack. We saw him last year in relief of Simpson in the Indiana game, and I thought he came in and played well, whereas Simpson really struggled. Mack is 6'6", talented, pretty athletic, can make some plays with his legs, can extend some plays, live arm. His accuracy in small samples is a little suspect. You know, he's not always leading guys. You know, he's making them stop. He's not throwing guys open. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is there are some accuracy issues in terms of hitting guys in stride. Now, Russell reminds me a lot of Randall Cunningham. Russell is pretty much a freak. You know, he could probably throw a football 80 yards. He's athletic. Again, he's raw. He hasn't played. You know, what is that going to mean for him? It remains to be seen. You know, what's the receiving core going to look like? They lost Bernard. He was their best receiver. There are big expectations for Ryan Williams. There were big expectations for him last year, and he's sorely disappointed. I haven't seen any stat on it, but he probably dropped more balls than any receiver in America. And quite honestly, he spent some time on the bench with the coach. I don't know if that was the reason or there was some other reason, but the other part of it is this. He's not going to have any run game unless he creates it, which, you know, that would help. I mean, that would help the Bama run game. The Bama does not have a run game. They don't have any talented running backs. They basically have no run game at all. They're 125th last year. They could be 125th this year unless Russell changes that equation. Again, I think Russell is an immense talent. If we get back here next year and we're having the same conversation next year, if Russell's not near the top of this list by then, there's going to be something wrong in the equation. Again, it could be Austin Mack. I'm not ruling Mack out. I think that that's going to be a pretty close contest. I just think Russell is the more dynamic athlete. Now, he's going to need to be consistent throwing the football because I think that DeBoer had enough of having a quote-unquote dynamic athlete at quarterback two seasons ago. So we'll see how that plays out. But I really like all of these guys. Think about it. Most of these guys that we've talked about already, in fact, all four of these guys that we've discussed so far, KJ Jackson, Faison Brandon, Austin Simmons, and Keelon Russell, they're all sort of the cookie cutter NFL quarterback mold. They're all 6'4", live arms, all pretty good athletes, some exceptional athletes. These guys are filled with traits. Now, from a pro standpoint, traits gets you drafted in round four and beyond. You have to connect the dots. The traits have to be connected. They have to turn into productivity. And that's what remains to be seen with these guys and their situation. Again, I'm not in love with the situation in Alabama. Whether it's Russell, whether it's Mack, you don't have a running back. You don't have a running game unless they provide it, which is another reason I think it's got to be Russell. But Mack can give you running. He did against Indiana even. He can give you some of that. But Russell gives you a more dynamic runner. And I think they need to complement that run game because I do not think they're lining up and handing the ball to a running back. I actually think their offensive line got worse too. So the area that I like Alabama, I like their secondary. I don't really like any other part of Alabama other than the talent they have at quarterback. So he makes the list at number 13. Number 12, Ramona. Number 12 is Aaron Filo, who Phantom Gator had just asked about. Why is Filo 12? Why is he ahead of Keelon Russell, Austin Simmons, Faison Brandon, KC Jackson, who are all better prototypes? They're all better athletes. Bigger arms. Well, Filo's ahead of those guys because, as I wrote on Twitter this morning, other than Texas, Filo has the best skill position supporting cast in the SEC. Now, we need to see what the offensive line looks like. I'm not talking about that. The offensive line has three transfers in it. I'm talking about strictly skill position-wise. Skill position-wise, Filo has the second best, and who knows, maybe even the best, but at the worst, the second best group of skill position, offensive skill position players in the SEC. And quite honestly, I don't even think it's debatable. Like, I think they're far and away second after Texas. And Texas is sort of remade. Florida isn't as remade at those spots. Again, Texas has two new running backs, so I'm making certain assumptions. But in Florida's case, and we'll stick to that for the moment and lay this sort of Filo case out, and we'll speak specifically of Filo's ability too. But you have Jaden Baugh at running back. There are a lot of people who think Jaden Baugh is one of the two best running backs in America. I don't, but I have him like number 11 on my running back list. I mean, he's a big, physical, powerful back with limited long speed. I think what you see is what you get. Is he going to rush for 1,000 yards? Yes. I think that's going to happen. Now, again, I want to see how much of Faulkner's offense Florida actually utilizes. Are they as innovative in the run game? And what would that do to Baugh specifically? because I don't know that Boss, scheme-wise, is necessarily a perfect fit for what Faulkner wants to do in the run game, which is attack the edges and use a lot of window dressing. And, you know, Baugh is more, you know, what you see is what you get, and power A-gap runner. Regardless, Baugh is a force. Okay, I don't want to confuse this. Baugh is a force at running back. He rushed for like 1,100 yards last year. Again, there are a lot of people who think he's one of the two best running backs in America. I don't, because I just don't think he has long speed. I don't have any 100-meter on him or anything. I just have results. You know, other than the Florida State game, his longest run all year was 22 yards. Okay, so he doesn't have long speed, and the Florida wide receivers did not do any downfield blocking. So I think it's a combination. The only game that I think he had a longer run was Florida State. And Florida State just fell apart. He rushed for like 250 yards or something against Florida State. Then you go to the wide receivers, where I have Vernell Brown, who's talented. I have Eric Singleton, who might be the second fastest player in college football. He's certainly among the top five or six fastest players in college football. The two-time transfer, Georgia Tech, Auburn, and now here at Florida. And then Dallas Wilson. And quite honestly, if Dallas Wilson stays healthy, he's as good as any receiver in America, including Jeremiah Smith. If Dallas Wilson stays healthy, he is as good as any receiver in America. So I have an Aaron Filo situation where he's got an 1,100-yard back. He has insane talent at wide receiver with Dallas Wilson and Eric Singleton and Vernell Brown and that whole group. A pretty decent tight end in Harpring. He has weapons everywhere. So if he doesn't play well, you'll know who's to blame. Now, from a Filo standpoint, what is he? Well, he's a pretty good athlete, first of all. He's not Haynes King-level athlete, but he's a better athlete than you would think. He can make some plays with his legs. He's not a statue. And so he schematically fit what Faulkner wanted to do at Georgia Tech. He's a good thrower of the football. He doesn't have an elite arm. You know, he has a solid arm. He's a good thrower of the football. Pretty good accuracy. You know, he had some instances last year where he got into games and looked awful. One in particular where he's just dreadful. I mean, Florida can't have that, Filo. You know, we saw little bits of Filo a couple of years ago where he looked pretty good. Now, some of that was against Miami secondary at the time. They were completely depleted, and Ramona could have thrown for 400 yards in that secondary. So we need to see more from Aaron Filo to be able to judge him. But overall, he's a pretty good athlete with a pretty good arm who has pretty good accuracy. I think that is who he is. And so, again, is he as talented as some of these guys behind him? No. But any of these guys behind him would kill to have the situation that Aaron Filo has. He has, again, I'm not talking about offensive line yet. I'm strictly talking about skill position guys. From a skill position set standpoint, this is the second best non-quarterback skill position group in the SEC. And arguably the best. It's in the same class as Texas's group. And that's saying a lot. I mean, there aren't many teams in America that have a better group on paper receivers than Dallas Wilson, Eric Singleton, and Vernell Brown. Add in an 1,100-yard hammer in Jaden Baugh at tailback, and that's a lot of offensive skill that Filo gets to work with. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar.
From sunup to sundown,
we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar.
Your upstate sports authority. From the I-85 gridlock to the Esso parking lot.
We're your sports talk escape.
We are
League Softball World Series.
Yeah.
And like I said yesterday, the pitcher on the hill yesterday that, probably had two kids already, I said had to be carded and checked their birth certificate and everything. We are back in the same situation today because, I'm sorry, there's no way that this battery is Little League age. There's just no way. You can tell me whatever you want. And, you know, these are pretty good players, but, you know, I saw players this age playing in women's pro softball. And you know what else? They're way too sound. You know what I mean? I mean, like that's what I watched. That's what I was watching yesterday. I mean, it looked like I was watching pros. I mean, they were executing flawlessly. Little League.
I know.
That's not even if your team is good.
Yeah, they were throwing it. Yeah, everything.
I mean, you got a catcher right here too. You get a catcher trying to throw behind the runner at first, gunning it down to first.
Huge.
Johnny benching it. Yeah. But speaking of Little League, did you see the Little League video that I've reposted on my Twitter feed?
I did see the video.
Yeah, these are the kind of things that we're going to put these up on the Roar website too in the future, because again, this is a good example, Rana. I don't want to lose what I have right now, but I'm gonna go to it anyway. If I can find it, where did I post that? Oh, I have about three or four things that we got to get to. We got to get to Jordan and Bird as well, but. Where did I post that, Ramona? I know it's here somewhere. Do you see it? But
Yeah, it's the very first thing, but you have to click on it to see the video. It just says POS attacking an old man over a baseball game.
That's what I was. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the very first thing, but the video, you have to click on it to get to the video.
Yeah. Okay, so Baseball History Nut posted this, and. I read a bigger video on this. I don't remember where this was, but this is another beautiful example of Little League, Ramona, where this Lard-A coach decides to physically attack an elderly umpire at home plate, which is just absolutely atrocious. I mean, you frigging moron. You coach little kids. You're a prime example, you fat slob. I mean, seriously, I just want to jump through the screen and beat the living crap out of this guy.
Little kids were just standing there watching.
You got little kids. You're in charge of little kids. And, oh, by the way, this guy used to work under in the organization said, yeah, we had problems with him. He was with us for 4 years, and we had anger management problems with him then.
Right.
And so and now he's in a different league and a different organization.
Doing it there.
And, again, here's what actually happens. I don't know how much of this you can see in the video, but this guy, this idiot who should never be allowed around kids again in any capacity, this guy should never coach again. He should never be anywhere around little kids again. Just abomination. He runs up on this home plate umpire who's clearly elderly. Probably 20 years older than the manager. So there's your other thing. Not only are you responsible for little kids and have a little dignity and respect for the game and have a little control when around little kids and being a role model, but in addition to that, you're physically attacking an elderly person, you friggin' idiot. Yeah, I mean, it's like this guy like broke every rule of common sense and decency.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so what you may not be able to tell, Ramona, is he runs up on the umpire and he intentionally, he's like spitting his face. He intentionally bumps his chest. He runs right into him. He does like the fat kid in the basketball game after the game. He intentionally bumps into the umpire. And the umpire, at that point, he knows he's under assault, and he basically reaches out and sort of slaps at him, like, you know, get away from me. And then this guy starts his full-fledged assault. This guy, there's a good chance this guy's going to prison.
He should. Yeah, he should go to jail.
Because
after he punches him, he throws it, swings him to the ground.
Well, he punches him numerous times.
Yeah.
By the way, we should note his punches had no effect at all. So,
oh, no, they didn't. The guy gets up.
Yeah, you're a big word I can't say on regular radio, tough guy. Your punches didn't even affect an old guy. So, yeah, you're tough. You taught a kid's a lesson. Yeah. I just, look, there's too much of this in youth sports. It's not everywhere, and social media makes it seem like it's everywhere. It's not, you know, but there's still too much of it. And this is a full-fledged assault, and you know, I saw the sheriff's department from there, and this guy's been arrested, and I hope he faces significant penalties. But nobody should ever let this schmuck around kids in any capacity again. Any, none. No coaching, no around kids. Ramona, we have an old video from Michael Jordan, and he's talking about Larry Bird. I thought this was pretty good. We will not be able to play you the last things that Larry Bird said to Michael Jordan because there's a word in it that we can't block today. So we'll cut it off right there at the end. But let's just say Bird expounded on his Merry Christmas wish to Jordan.
Give us a Larry Bird story.
All right. I got one Christmas game. I remember it like yesterday. So we're warming up. Everybody's in that holiday mood. And Larry walks by me with that crooked little smile of his. And he goes, "Mike, I got a Christmas present for you today." Now, listen, when Larry says that ain't Santa Claus talk. That means you're about to have a long night. So the game starts. I'm guarding him. First possession, he doesn't even look at me. He just walks to the corner like he's bored, like he's checking his mailbox or something. I'm thinking, ain't no way he's shooting this. Ball swings over. Larry catches it still, not even looking at me, and he goes, "Here's your present."
No, that wasn't it.
That was it, because I knew the number.
It was not. 100% was not. There was a lot more of that video before you got to that. The cuss came right at the end. That you cut that off prematurely. Yeah, that's not it. Because we didn't. That actually cut the story off. Have you confirmed that yet?
Over. Larry catches it still, not even looking at me, and he goes, "Here's your present." Boom. 3, right in my face. Didn't touch the rim. I look at him like, "Really?" And he whispers,
"That's where." That's
yeah,
where.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, that's where it is. So it's too funny, but it's the respect. You know, remember, as great as Jordan was, and you can make the case that he's the greatest or one of the greatest that ever lived, he never beat Bird at anything. That's just the reality. It's a reality that people have a hard time with. But if you actually go back and you watch the videos, you'll find out why he never beat Bird at anything. Because that's how good Bird was. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Bird's the greatest player I ever saw. And had he not had the back injuries, there's just no telling. He won 3 straight MVPs. I mean, the game got boring to him. He was looking for ways to make the game more challenging. There were times he shot the ball only left-handed. I mean, that's how easy the game was for him at that point. And he was a better athlete than people think, too. I mean, you go watch the film, and you can see. I mean, you know, he was light years better athlete than, like, some slob like Luka Doncic. I mean, Goodness gracious. You can get in if you want, 654-7627, 654-7627. I have one more story, Ramona, for you, and it's a killer. We will get to that. Who's up next on our list? You can get in. People have been calling all day, but you can get in right now. Right now is a good time. If you want to get in, 654-7627. We're talking SEC quarterbacks. So far, KC Jackson of Arkansas, number 16. Faison Brandon of Tennessee, number 15. Austin Simmons, Missouri, number 14. Keelan Russell, Alabama, number 13. And Aaron Filo, Florida, number 12. And I actually like all of those players. I like all five of those guys. I don't dislike any of those players. And I respect the talent level of all of those players. I think they're all good players. So I'm pretty high on that entire group. Number 11, Ramona. Number 11, another player I'm really high on, and that's Kenny Minchie, who is going to be the new quarterback at Kentucky under Will Stein. I think Minchie is really gifted. I mean, this may be way too low in the end. Kentucky's remade their offensive line. I think they've got some energy and some enthusiasm. I think they're finally going to play offense. It feels like they've been trying to get by with playing defense under Stoops forever. Without a lot of offense, that's over now. And again, I want to reiterate that in the Notre Dame quarterback, CJ Carr is being projected by some to be the Heisman Trophy winner, you know, number one pick, national champion, all that stuff. CJ Carr was in a fight for his life with Kenny Minchie for the job. Now, I thought Carr would win it, but there were people internally at Notre Dame who thought Minchie was better. And Minchie is more athletic. There's no doubt about that. And you know, look, the last Notre Dame cast-off quarterback, Steve Angeli, went to Syracuse and was lighting everybody up until he tore his Achilles. And he'll be back lighting people up this year. There'll be Notre Dame quarterbacks killing people all over, not just for Notre Dame. And I think Minchie's going to be one of them. I think Minchie is really gifted. He's really athletic. He can extend plays. He throws accurately on the move. He has a live arm. There's nothing to dislike. I think he's going to give Kentucky a lot of juice. And I think that offensive line is again, I think they had the best transfer portal offensive line haul perhaps of any team in the country. And Stein is confident, and I think with good reason. And I think part of that reason is Kenny Minchie. So, again, player number 11, I love. The SEC, for all the bad things I've said about the SEC, and they deserve every one of them, in recent years, I really like this whole group of quarterbacks. This is nobody on this list that I, you know, Ramona, think about it. It's me, you know.
I know, and it's right. The SEC.
Right, and normally I would look at a list of guys that the quarterbacks of the SEC, and I'd say this guy friggin' sucks. This guy's white rice. This guy's flat garbage. You know, that kind of stuff. Nothing.
White rice.
Nothing.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No question. Number 10, Ramona. Number 10's another guy I like. Kamario Taylor of Mississippi State. I'm sort of high on Mississippi State. Yes, they lost their fastest wide receiver in Brandon Thompson, who was a legit, like, 4.25 guy. They lost him. That doesn't help. But I think you've got a great offensive mind running things. I think Taylor has lots of ability. They bring Arnett back at defensive coordinator. They were willing to do that. I think that's a great move. They're going to be aggressive defensively now, schematically. They were too soft last year. We'll continue this one on the other side.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. If you're online, you've got the Roar at your fingertips. From a beach in Valley to the Rocky Mountains.